Welcome to the Should Have Bet More podcast presented by VSiN, the sports betting network. Coming up on the show, Kev O'Neill of the Odds Breakers will join us. We will go over the day that was in the NFL, look ahead to Monday, maybe look ahead to Thursday. We got some great games on Thanksgiving. Take a look at the college football landscape as we are down to the final week of college football. How time goes so quickly. But let's start here with the Sunday takeaways. And once again, it feels similar to last week with all these last second finishes, all these great games. The Sunday games were great. And as we're recording this, the Rams are absolutely burying the Bucs here. And the Rams pretty clearly look like the best team in the league. I know Seattle, you could say, well, we turned it over four times. We still had a chance to win. If we make a kick, you know, we're throwing all these interceptions, we still win. But the Rams right now just look like a team with very few flaws, if any. And think back to all that conversation all summer. Stafford with the back. Is he healthy? Is he going to play? Is he going to retire? He looks like the MVP right now. The Rams are just burying Tampa. But we'll start with the day that was the NFL, and I'll start with the Chiefs, just because I do think they saved their season. The Colts had plenty of chances to put this game away. Led for most of the game, led pretty much throughout. Got the early score, had a double-digit lead, had a two-score lead, all those things, and couldn't put them away. And I wonder if you look back to this day sometime in January and say this was the chance the AFC had to put them away. I'm sure, you know, if you ask the rest of the AFC, they would have loved to get the Chiefs out of the mix. Not that they would have been dead with a loss, but at 5-6 with their tiebreaker situation, if they had lost today and went to 5-6 like they would have been, instead they're 6-5. If they were 5-6, you're talking about basically winning your last, what, six games to go to 11-6, and then winning four more in the playoffs, because they're not going to win they're not going to get the bye in the AFC. So you'd have to win four playoff games, including the Super Bowl. You're talking about winning 10 in a row if they had lost today. I don't care how good the Chiefs are. I don't care how good Mahomes is. And I'm as big a Mahomes believer as there is. They were not winning 10 in a row to win the whole thing with a bunch of them on the road, and they play all these close games. Eventually, you know, you play enough coin flips, as they've seen this year, the coin's just going to land the other way. The ball's going to bounce the other way. So the Chiefs saved their season. The Colts, really now, uphill battle to get the one seed. Maybe the Jags are back in the mix in the division. The Texans are playing well. So Colts really miss an opportunity with the Patriots and how easy their schedule is. It's crazy to say, but the Patriots are really in the driver's seat, it would seem, here to be the one seed. So that was the first takeaway. The second takeaway, the Eagles, just I don't know what to do with them. I don't know what to do with them. I don't feel comfortable writing them off. I don't feel comfortable saying, today's loss or Sunday's loss is no big deal. Up 21-0. You know what? They've got the championship pedigree. They've got this loaded roster, which they do, which is why I have a hard time writing them off, because they are loaded both sides of the ball. Hurts is a winning player, and Barkley and A.J. Brown and Smith and all the guys on defense. It's just a weird team. There's a weird feel to it. It almost feels like 2 years ago where there just feels something off with them, something missing. There's nobody that they could play where I'd be surprised if they won. I just have a hard time seeing them string together three, four playoff wins. They just look off. That's the only way to put it. But again, I don't know what to do with them. I don't want to write them off. I don't want to just say it's no big deal, because it doesn't feel like no big deal. It feels like, I mean, they did nothing for long, long stretches of this game. They get the break with the drop from Dallas, who went for it on fourth down. I had no problem with Dallas going for it either. You know, get the touchdown or leave them at their one. And they can't do anything with that where, you know, you just cross midfield and you can basically drain the clock and kick a field goal. They couldn't do anything when they needed to. So I'd be concerned about Philly. Wouldn't write them off, but I'd be very concerned about the way Philly's playing, whether it's the coordinators, whether it's Sirianni, who does some strange things. He's overly aggressive. He's, I know Philly fans crush Sirianni. He's not a bad coach, but I just can't quite put my finger on it. But you can't watch them and think, oh, no big deal. They're one of the two or three teams that can win it all. Maybe they do. Maybe they can. It just, I would be, if you made me pick, hey, there's concern or there's no concern, I would have some concern about them. That was a bad loss, and they've just looked strange at times, even though all of the talent is still there, and you cannot under any circumstances write them off. And we saw them absolutely throttle Detroit. We saw them win a good game in Green Bay, which is not an easy place to win. That's not an easy game a couple of weeks ago. So they have the talent. They're absolutely not an easy out once they get in the playoffs, and they'll be there. But just a strange loss and a strange team, this Philly team. Lions did not look good, but they win. That line got up to 14, 14 and a half, I think, in some spots. Just crazy. Another team, and the Ravens were like this, the Lions were like this, where you just don't know. You know, if you look based on how they're playing, you're not overly impressed, but the Ravens just continue to stack these wins. The Jets had their chances, and I thought for a moment, the Jets were another game where they closed 14 and a half in some spots if you paid extra juice. They had a lead in the second half, and it looked like for a moment the Ravens up 10 with the ball were actually going to cover that, which would have just been a brutal, brutal beat if you had the Jets. But the Ravens win. They keep moving. They are in very good shape to win that division. The Steelers lose, so the Ravens are most likely going to be that four seed in what sets up to be a really fascinating AFC playoffs. The NFC playoffs, we talked about last week too, or the last couple weeks. Lions, Eagles, Rams, Seahawks. I mean, just those four teams, and then whoever fills it out. I don't know that Dallas can win enough games to get back in the mix, but with their improved defense, with their elite offense, and Pickens is a tremendous player. I remember talking about him before the year, 200-1 offensive player of the year. He's not going to get there. I think he was like still 500-1 this week for offensive player of the year. He's a really good player. You go with Lamb, who's a good player too, but drops too many balls, and an improved defense. That's a team that's very dangerous. It's just, you wonder if they lost one too many games too early here to get back in the mix when you look at the playoff picture with the 49ers, with the Bears who continue to win. So we'll see here. Our buddy Dave Ross, I'm sure, is printing his Super Bowl tickets, getting ready for Dallas to make a playoff run. I'm not so sure they can do enough to get in. I think they dug themselves too big of a hole, but that is certainly a very good team right now and a very dangerous team, and a great comeback win there. For the Cowboys, the Packers beat the Vikings. Boy, it's depressing. I usually don't talk about my Vikings fandom too much on this. Did a little last year when they lost to the Lions, a chance to be the one seed, and then they turned right around and lost to the Rams, as I expected they would. It's always with this team, it's always one step forward, two steps back. It's just, they never, I think 07 into 08 was the last time they, maybe it was 08 into 09 was the last time they made the playoffs 2 years in a row. They just never do it 2 years in a row. They'll have a random year where they come out of nowhere, either win a division or have just this great unexpected year. And the next year, they always fall back. 17, they were in the title game, didn't make it in 18. 19, they actually made it again and won a game, but made it in 22, that random year where they weren't good by any stretch, but they made it. They lost to the Giants. Took a step back. 24, they have the year out of nowhere again where you weren't expecting Darnold to do that. And then they fall apart at the end. And now it's like, where do you go if you're the Vikings? I mean, what do you have? McCarthy stinks. I don't want to hear about rewinding the neurological scenario there. And it's always excuses. And it's, he makes these tough guy faces on the sideline, giving himself the nicknames. It's just, it's really, really depressing if you're the Vikings. Just no reason to think they're going to be any better next year. I don't know what you do for a quarterback next year. The rest of the roster is not bad, but that's just a depressing situation for the Vikings. Not that it's the worst situation. I mean, you know, Dolphin fans haven't won a playoff game since 2000. The Browns have their disaster, just cycling in and out quarterbacks. The Lions never been to a Super Bowl. I know the Vikings at least have had some success, here and there, but boy, just a 98 title game. They're 15-1. Blow that somehow when they're up seven late and they miss a kick. 09, they should have beaten the Saints. I mean, just go on and on. 41-0 in the NFC title game to the Giants. It's just a very depressing existence for Minnesota. And that was, today was just an example of that, where I'm just not even excited to watch the games anymore. I don't even know what the direction of this team is going forward with the quarterback situation and how quickly things change. This time last year, they were headed towards a 14-2 heading into week 17. They lose that. They're 14-3, chance to be the one seed. Maybe you're thinking, who knows? Could they actually make a Super Bowl? And here they turn around and they're dead by Thanksgiving. So, brutal, just really, really depressing. I keep using that word, but it's the correct word to use for Minnesota. But fun day, absolutely, really fun day of football. Chiefs were a big takeaway. They saved their season. Eagles not sure what to do with them. Ravens in good shape to win the AFC North. As you go through these takeaways here and you look ahead to Monday, and it's a good Monday night game. It's an okay Monday night game, but it's a great Monday in terms of a sports day. If you like college basketball, I'm just looking at this. Four games at noon or earlier. You got three games at 11 o'clock a.m. Eastern time. The games go all day, all night. It's almost like conference tournament week, or that 10 days in college basketball where just you wake up, there's a game on at 11 in the morning, there's a game on at 11 at night, there's a game on at 1 in the morning. The games just never stop this week. And then you throw in the college football, the three NFL games on Thursday, which are good ones. Packers and Lions, Lions laying 3 at home. Chiefs and Cowboys, Chiefs laying 3.5 in Dallas. And then Ravens hosting the Bengals. Ravens laying 7.5. They're the home team against the Bengals Thanksgiving night. All good games, all impactful games. Remember years ago, there used to only be two games. Then at night, there was no football to watch. Now you got the third game, which is, I want to say that's been going on, what, 15 years now, maybe? It's not completely recent, but it's but boy, it's hard to ask for three better games than that. I know the Bengals aren't very good, but you think Burrow will be back, Chase should be back. That's at least a good rivalry. The Ravens are playing for something, even though the Bengals aren't. And the other two games are just outstanding games with all four teams at least somewhat in the mix. If not, I mean, Lions-Packers is an incredibly, incredibly important game with, you know, the winner still thinking they can win the division. The loser has to worry about making the playoffs. So really looking forward to that. Really looking forward to all of these games here this week. The college basketball. Keep in mind, these college basketball, Steve Fezzik talks about it all the time. I've mentioned on this podcast, and he's the one who really introduced me to this angle. First half of these early games, noon Eastern, 11 a.m. Eastern, these first halves often go under. These kids, they're night creatures. They play at night. They sleep late. They play late. They wake up late. They do everything late. So when you put them 11 a.m., oftentimes in empty gyms with no energy, you look up 5-6 minutes into the game and it's like, you know, 6-2, 8-2. You just get these very low scoring starts. And then sometimes in the second half, it picks up. But look for these first half unders. I think you could do pretty well. Bet them early because they usually move. They usually open based on what they would normally be if they were played at a normal time. And then the market kind of bets them. You know, people come in and bet the first half unders. I think that's an angle people are more aware of now. So if you see them, bet them early, and then you can always play back and usually get a better, you know, better number. Not a better number. You get the better number early. You can at least like play for middle and buy back if that's your inclination. But usually those first half unders and these early games do pretty well here. So it should be fun to have all these tournaments. Maui, there's a million of them now. It used to just be Maui and like one or two other ones. Atlantis is a pretty recent one, Battle of Atlantis. But there's a ton of them now. It seems like everybody is playing in a college basketball tournament. So NFL, the Monday night game, some 7, some 7.5, 49ers and the Panthers, total 49.5. That has gone up. The Niners just have not played good enough defense, I don't think, to lay 7.5 against anyone. I know they buried Arizona last week, and that was another good game today, Arizona and Jacksonville. Jacksonville survives with a win. Gannon, I don't know what he was doing, 4th-and-12, going for it. And then Liam Cohen, 4th-and-1, 4th-and-2, does play action, rolls Lawrence out. He throws it incomplete, and then the next thing you know, you're in overtime. Very strange ending to that game. But Arizona last week really dominated the 49ers, moved the ball up and down the field, 488 yards of offense against San Francisco, but it was all turnovers, which led to the easy lopsided San Francisco victory. So I think there's some value on Carolina. You got to get the 7.5. That would be the only way I would look towards the game on Monday. I think it's the first time McCaffrey has played against the Panthers since the trade two, three years ago now. I think it's 3 years ago, right around this time. They got traded right around the deadline 3 years ago from Carolina to San Francisco. His receiving prop, I think last week was the first week it didn't go over. He has been a machine catching the football. So maybe you look at McCaffrey receiving. That's been a pretty good way to go. So Fun week. We got a random, I'm not going to spend too much time about it, talking about it today, but I was surprised. I didn't even see this until like hours later. Usually I'm on top of this stuff. Mets trade Brandon Nimmo, the outfielder, to the Rangers for Marcus Semien. I know Nimmo's defense isn't great. It seems like from a culture, locker room kind of thing, they wanted to get rid of Nimmo. Boy, Nimmo's a better player than Semien, and Simeon's older. Unless there's another move coming, which I imagine there is. Maybe Bellinger, maybe they have their eyes on Bellinger and they think they can sign him, but just on the surface, just as a one-for-one, that's not a good trade for the Mets. I thought that was a very strange trade. Now, maybe Stearns knows what he's doing. You know, Simeon's had some good years. He won an MVP, I think, during the COVID year. He's played well at times, but my goodness, I was surprised. Very strange trade there for the Mets. So that's another thing here. Pretty soon here, the winter meetings, usually the first week of December, which is kind of right around the corner here. That's when you start getting the free agents thing. But a few trades sprinkle in randomly here as we watch all the football. And that's one that's stuck under the radar. That one's very, very surprising. So a lot to talk about with Kev O'Neill, though. A lot of football. Get his thoughts on the Monday night game, the Thanksgiving. Talk some college, too. Get his thoughts on the college landscape as some of those odds have changed. That is next. Rate, review, subscribe. This is Should Have Been More Podcast. All right, we are back. Should Have Bet More Podcast. He's one of our favorite guests, breaking down what was a crazy Sunday in the NFL. Look ahead to Monday. We got three games on Thursday, which will be here before you know it. Catch him at the Odds Breakers. It is our buddy Kev O'Neill. Kev, woof. What a Sunday it was. Taping this right as Rams Bucks about to kick off, but we've got plenty to talk about without that game. How's it going, man?
I'm doing wonderful, Will. You know, it seems like every time I come on your Sunday show, there's always extra time, overtime going on in these games, right? So we always have to wait a little longer, but that's okay. You know, we had a couple crazy finishes, some exciting finishes, some storylines, and a few things got busted up a little bit this week as well.
We'll start just because it just ended. Philly's loss, I guess you could call it a collapse. Hey, when you're up 21-0 and you lose the game, you can call it a collapse. Does this change how you feel about them? Did you think they were flawed before this? Are they legitimate Super Bowl contenders? And how would you sort the NFC here? I know I threw a bunch at you here, but kind of go through it and just take it whatever direction you like.
Well, the reason that a lot of times that sharp people do not want to lay points in the NFL is because of what you just saw today. You know, but the Seahawks up by 20, the Eagles, they get too conservative. And most of the time it actually does work and they end up winning by 3 to 9 points or whatever. But man, they were overly conservative. What happened to those bombs you were throwing to Smith and AJ Brown? I mean, that was great. Why you stop that? Is this Dallas secondary is horrible. No, dude, the Eagles are still a very, very legitimate Super Bowl contender because there's only two teams in the NFC that can win the Super Bowl, and that's the Eagles and the Rams. And I'm going to put a maybe by the Lions, but what I've learned is that there is not that many Super Bowl contenders, and there's also not many great teams, but there's only certain ones you can trust based on quarterback play.
What is the problem with the Eagles? Now, look, if we're recording this at halftime of that game, we're saying all the things you just said. They're contenders. Nobody else is that good. They've got that, you know, a good roster. Hurts is a winner, all this stuff. But there's just a weird feel to them offensively. Is it Hurts? Is it Sirianni? Is it just, you know what, NFL's weird stuff happens and don't kind of worry about this? I don't know. How do you kind of compartmentalize here this really strange Eagles team?
They fumbled that punt, man. And it's just... You've seen the strength of them, how they had so many goal line stops against the Cowboys. And, you know, the Cowboys are a team that habitually pukes all over themselves, but the coaching isn't as good without those great coordinators that they had. And I feel like you kind of see that with the Lions a little bit too. Now they rely on skill a lot, right? And they're just remembering what they had. But I just feel like there's still some holes in both of those teams. And I really think that, you know, not having the offensive coordinator there like they did last year. He went to coach now the Saints. And, you know, even beforehand, it was a much better offense, in my opinion, and a much more cleaner offense. Now you play like that, you play to lose, and you're going to lose the game because that's exactly what they did. But at the same time, the skills there, the strengths there, they're hard to bet, Will. They're hard to lay past three because they just run clock and put themselves in a position to lose the game if they're not careful.
If you had to pick right now who comes out of the NFC, who would you pick?
Rams.
Okay. I thought you were going to say that. It's a fair answer. Do you downgrade Detroit with their performance to the point where you start to think of them differently, even though they won?
You know, everyone was on the Lions. I don't really downgrade him. I don't know. I mean, the Giants kind of jumped him a little bit, hit some deep passes. Jameis Winston's got that super strong arm. Now everyone thinks Jameis Winston's good. I'm going to have to fade the Giants next week. You know, you saw two or three of those Jameis Winston throws were rainbows, man, and just happened to be perfect position because any other games, you figure one or two of those are getting intercepted, and he's going to do it again. And Jameis Winston is that just very – let's just say hard to depend on guy that's either going to win against a great team or just get blown out. Now that's kind of what happened. He had his good performance against the Lions. So I'm not downgrading the Lions because of that. If anything, I really love how they came back. It feels a little bit like how Texas A&M came back on South Carolina. If you have the strength to do that, it shows me you're a winning team and a team I can trust later in the playoffs.
Before we get to some other games, I'll give you the floor for other takeaways, but the big story today, too, the Chiefs pretty much saved their season. At 5-6, maybe you could talk me into, all right, they run the table, they get in the playoffs, nobody wants to play them, But you're talking about 5-6. You got to win 6 in a row to go to 11-6 and get in, and then win 4 playoff games. You're talking about they got to win the next, 10 in a row to win another Super Bowl. They were not doing that. The games are too close with them. So that was, a gutty win here for the Chiefs. What was your takeaway from watching them come back against the Colts? And you look at the Colts. It's funny. I was texting with Bear, Chris Felica. It was like, in a weird way, I actually have a little bit more respect for the Colts now because the way they played, I thought that they showed some guts even though they lost. I don't know. Do you have any takeaway from that game?
Yeah, a lot of takeaways, really. You know, first of all, the Chiefs are one of the AFC teams that can win the Super Bowl. I only have two AFC teams that can win the Super Bowl, the Broncos and the Chiefs. And I have two maybes, the Bills and the Chargers. The Bills better get healthy on defense. The Chargers better, well, I don't know how they're going to get healthier on the offensive line as they lost their two best guys, but maybe Alt can come back. I don't know. A situation where you can't go against completely the Chargers because that coach is too good. Harbaugh is too good of a coach. So I put them in the maybe list, and I put the Bills in the maybe list too. But the Chiefs, I still trust, but I don't have them power rated as nearly the best team. As a matter of fact, my best bet was on the Colts. But what you saw with the Colts is that Daniel Jones is Sam Darnold. That when he looks in the mirror, he sees Sam Darnold. When Sam Darnold looks in the mirror, he sees Daniel Jones. They're both guys that can't handle the big time. 20-9. You're up 20-9. You got to put him away. Yeah. You can see the fear in his eyes. He's just missing wide open passes. That you knew the choke was coming. Thank goodness I was able to cover my spread at the end of the day. But I just feel like Daniel Jones, they're going to be like that Tennessee Titans team that had the number one seed and then just, you know, blow it in the playoffs because of the clutch performance that you need from a quarterback. I believe Daniel Jones is not that guy. And, I believe the Chiefs are definitely still in it, man. I mean, if they make the playoffs as a wild card, if they're not favored to win it in the AFC, I'd be putting money on them.
Yeah, and today I think changed the conversation because if they had lost today, like I said, 5-6, now you're talking about running the table and then win 4 in a row in the playoffs. Like winning 10 in the row, it's just 10 in a row in the NFL. It's just not that easy. But now you give yourself a little breathing room. The schedule's not bad, and they're in good shape. And look, they could probably get in at 10-7. We'll see how the rest of the AFC plays out, obviously. And you know, tough loss for the Colts. Any chance of the one seed? If you look at the Patriots' schedule, Broncos still 9-2. All right, maybe we don't take them as seriously, but Patriots 10-2, Colts now a game behind them. Patriots in really good shape because this Patriots schedule is just so easy that New England probably going to walk away with a one seed here in the AFC. As crazy as that is, as long as Buffalo doesn't catch them, which I don't think they're going to.
Can I make one more point? At 10-7, I'm not sure that the Patriots can get in, though, even.
You mean the Chiefs?
I mean the Chiefs. They lost.
No, I agree.
They lost head-to-head.
Bad tiebreakers.
Head-to-head to Buffalo, if Buffalo's a wild card contender.
Yep.
They lost head-to-head already to the Chargers, you know.
Jags,
Jags. Yeah, the Jags won today, right? I mean, and the Jags have a pretty workable schedule, too. The Jags get the 10 wins. They got the head-to-head, man. The Chiefs might need to almost be perfect and run the table 5-1 here, you know, going through the rest of the season, man. And they can do it, though. I'm not saying they can't do it. The Chiefs are just that kind of team. They have the biggest home field advantage in Arrowhead, as everybody knows. But, you know, I'm not counting them out until I see zeros, you know. And I think.
Certainly fair.
Are they a good bet? No. You'll never get good money on them. But I think that they're still in it.
Nope. Certainly fair way to look at it. How about this Monday night game here? San Francisco, who's horrible on defense now, laying 7.5, total 49.5. If I had to play anything, when in doubt, I'd probably just take the points here. I'd probably lean towards an over. Just because I don't know this San Francisco defense can even be, you know, average. Not that I'm dying to bet Bryce Young on the road here, but I don't know. Give me your thoughts here. 49ers minus 7.5, total 49.5.
Yeah, moved up. The Niners don't have a pass rush, which worries me a little bit. That's why I have it teased down to 1.5. I have them partnered with the Patriots, so that part of it's alive at least for me. I think the Niners are kind of going to step on the gas pedal a little bit with that great coach they have in Kyle Shanahan. You know, Brock Purdy's back. He's a little bit rejuvenated. They got kind of like an easy win, let's just say, in Arizona, but that's a confidence builder. Their receivers are now getting healthy with Pearsall, Jennings, and Kittle. You know, they're all there. They're solid, and CMC still there. You know, the offensive line, not the greatest they've had in the past, just like the Chiefs' offensive line, not so good, but the Niners, even with all those guys missing on defense, these guys show up and they play and they have a great defensive coordinator, as we all know, right? So, yeah, I think the Niners are a wild card contender. They're going to be fighting between the Bears, Packers, and Niners. Bears, Packers, Niners are going to get two of the wild cards. I don't know who's going to be the odd one out of that just yet with the Bears' big win against the Steelers. But, I'm going to go to the props here. And I think that a Kittle prop looks pretty good to me going over his receiving total. I don't think the Panthers are that good at guarding the tight ends. And I think he's kind of like a sneaky little play, coming on in. Everyone kind of forgot about him, in my opinion. So did the books.
These Thursday games, Thanksgiving, it's always fun having these Thursday games. And that's a fun day. If you like college basketball, you get all the college basketball tournaments this week starting, I think, Monday morning. And they just basically go, it's almost like conference tournament week in college basketball. There's games all day, all night, morning, late night. I mean, you name it. But Thursday, the Thanksgiving games are good. Lions laying 3 at home to the Packers. That's a great game. It's an important game. Chiefs minus 3.5 to the Cowboys. That's another outstanding game. Another important game, especially with the Cowboys. They're rejuvenating now after a couple of wins and the defense looks better. And then Ravens minus 8.5 against the Bengals. Sounds like Burrow will probably go. Not that that's going to cure all their problems. Any of those you think is worth a bet? Any of those you think is going to move a certain way?
Well, my next order of business, actually, after the NFL games are done, is looking at next week's card. And obviously, the Thanksgiving games are going to be first. it's going to be an exciting day. I always like to throw out a big Thanksgiving Day teaser. And I usually wrap that with the Friday game with the Chicago Bears at the Eagles, and the Bears are +7. You know what's interesting about teasers is that I've been finding a lot of success with the 10-point teasers, and nobody's really talking about it yet. And I didn't get this for myself. I'm really good friends with a very sharp professional bettor that's been doing this for a couple years, and last year he turned me on to him. If you tease a good team, they never get blown out in the NFL. They never do. And 3 10-point teasers are -120 on all the books, right? Today I hit mine. Dallas came back. I had Dallas +13.5. That was my only worry, but you have to do good teams. You can't do -3.5 because it goes to +6.5. You got to look for those -2.5s, -6.5s to get it down. And, you just got to be careful with the numbers. -10.5s are good, bringing it down to a half point. So you bring those teasers. Those 10-point teasers have been money. So just a side note on that. Chiefs, Cowboys. Well, Cowboys are +3.5 still at home. And what you should see with the Chiefs, they had to really, really dig deep to come back. I'm not a big believer in the strength of the Chiefs, especially away. I mean, I think I might take the points with the Cowboys on this one. It's the earliest. It's the second game. It's not the earliest game. I'm looking at that one. Lions, Packers, that I lean Lions. I think Lions are in a good spot. I think you might get a 2.5 on the Lions too. It's kind of like a hard 3 at +100. So I'll wait on that one. But I think that, maybe I can get a better number on the Lions. I think the Lions are good enough to be good enough offense to blow out the Packers. And the Packers, I think, great with the lead, not great catching up. I don't know if Jacobs will be back either. Watching that Vikings game today against the Packers, that was more about how bad McCarthy is and how bad God. This Vikings team is.
So bad.
I felt like I was watching Missouri-Oklahoma again from yesterday, dude. It was brutal. And one of my few losses, I did have a good number at 6.5 on the Vikings, but didn't even sniff a cover just because how bad that quarterback play is with Minnesota. The defense eventually worn out. I'm not going to give a big reward to the Packers for that, being at home. Packers going on the road. Lions in a revenge spot from that first game. I'm going to be on the Lions somehow. If it goes to 2.5, you can tease it to +7.5 with a 10-point teaser as well. So that's not a bad look. Bengals, Ravens, I want to fade both of these teams. I think the Ravens are a little fugazi. You saw the Jets give them a lot of problems in the beginning of that. Joe Burrow is going to come out. Jamar Chase probably is going to be back, right? He was suspended just for one game. So, it's going to be an exciting offense, but Joe Burrow could be a little rusty. And, man, that offensive line has not improved a whole hell of a lot on the Bengals side either. So, yeah, I mean, probably lean the Bengals at the +8.5 because of Burrow. And Burrow's actually always had the Ravens number.
Switch over to college football. Man, some great games, some great matchups. This is it. It's Man, 1 minute you're watching Ohio State, Texas, Labor Day weekend, you blink and we're in the final weekend, Thanksgiving weekend. But all the rivalry games, all the playoff scenarios, before we get to some games you like, I'll throw these two scenarios at you because these two are the most interesting to me. Ole Miss was like 13-1 to miss the playoffs, 11-1, you know, depending on where you shopped, without playing a game or without much chaos or upsets around them. They're now down to plus 440 to miss. Miami is now up to, or I should say down to plus 220 to make. So Miami to make, Ole Miss to miss. Your thoughts on either one of those and any other thoughts here heading into the final week of the college football season?
Doesn't Miami have a backdoor shot in the ACC title game here? I think that's, I mean, chaos has to happen, a little bit of chaos, but I think they're the second or third backdoor, you know, kind of coming in, and maybe that factored in a little bit. But man, I, from a power rating standpoint, you know, I don't know what these committee members are thinking. I know they do favor the SEC and they'll favor the Big Ten some. You're only going to get three from the Big Ten though. We already know that, but a situation, you know, I think I bet Ole Miss to miss at 10.5-1 last week when Brad Powers tweeted that out.
Yeah,
he sent it to me actually, and I agreed. I said, you know, they don't have that much of a quality win when you looked at what Oklahoma was going through from an injury standpoint. That, I mean, that's really it. And now with the Lane Kiffin stuff, what's going on with him? Is he going? Is he staying? I don't know. You know, I think it's a silly thing that we even have to talk about it with college football. Why is this here? You know, why do they allow this? But here we are. And I personally would do things differently and just limit it to three teams per conference because that's how I am. I don't think any fourth team in any conference should ever make a playoff, but I think they have to win the Egg Bowl, of course. And if they lose the Egg Bowl, there's a chance Miami and Notre Dame both get in and Ole Miss is the odd one out.
Yeah, I would phrase it this way. I think if they lose to Mississippi State, and that's the day after Thanksgiving now, it used to be, you and I are old enough to remember, there used to be no NFL game Thanksgiving night. It'd be the Lions, the Cowboys, and then no NFL game at night. It would just be the Egg Bowl, but they sometimes they play it on Thanksgiving, sometimes they don't. This year it's on Friday, but I would say it's a coin flip. If Mississippi loses that game, I think it's like 50-50 they put them in. Would you agree with that?
Yeah, I would agree with it, and I think Vanderbilt might even sneak in ahead of them, right? Vandy's a very well-deserving team this year, and you know, the only ranked win that I guess, yeah, you're going to call it. It's too bad you have to call Tulane a ranked win, right, for Ole Miss. But the other ranked win is just at Oklahoma when Oklahoma was going through all those quarterback woes. And you look at a team like Vanderbilt, I think people are going to be screaming for the little guy. And, you know, they have a coach that's staying, right? You know, Vanderbilt also doesn't have great wins. You know, probably they have to beat Tennessee, but that's a ranked win. Kept it by three within Texas. You know, too bad LSU's not ranked anymore. Too bad Auburn and, you know, Missouri's not ranked anymore. It's not their fault. I would prefer Vanderbilt over them myself, just based on the not knowing what Lane Kiffin's going to do.
Anything you like this week in college football?
Absolutely, man. I always make some early plays. It looks like the lines moved a little bit. I like UTSA -6.5 against Army. You know, Army, tough game against Tulsa this week. They ended up losing the game. But this UTSA team is much better at home than they are on the road. As a matter of fact, you know, home road splits is something I always look for in college sports. You know, they go to North Texas, get blown out. Then they go home the next week, beat number 22 Tulane 48-26, right? Then they go to South Florida, get blown out, won at Charlotte by 21 points. Charlotte's terrible. Then they blow out East Carolina 58-24. They're just so good at home for some reason. I don't know what it is with this team, but you know, Army may already be thinking about Navy. You know, does Army want to get to the bowl? Sure. But, you know, it's all about Navy now to save their season, and that's really their Super Bowl. So, you know, after a tough loss against Tulsa, UTSA played Army last year and lost a one-score game when Army was a dang good team last year. Well, Army lost a ton of people, right? I'm laying the points with UTSA at home. It's 6.5 still right now. The other numbers I took, like on Vandy, that's gone. I took 3.5. It's at 3. I took Washington 7.5. It's going to 7. I think that'll go back to 7.5. But, you know, those are the early plays that I jumped in. Oh, Utah State probably still good. 3.5. You have to remember that Boise State doesn't have the Maddox Maxon playing their quarterback. So, and he was already announced out for this Utah State game. Utah State home dog plus 3.5. You saw them take out Fresno this week. Fresno did beat Boise State, but I don't like to go A plus B equals C, but this is too many points for a quarterbackless Boise State to go on the road against a tough Utah State team. I'll take Utah State plus 3.5 as well.
And the group of five playoff team will probably be, is it North Texas versus Tulane most likely in the AAC? I know North Texas is in good shape, probably versus Tulane in the AAC, or not necessarily?
They're in great shape, man. North Texas has, Temple up, and Tulane has Charlotte. Charlotte's like the worst. I mean, if Charlotte played UMass, I guess I would give them a 3-point favorite against UMass or something like that. But Charlotte is hurt and injured and terrible. There's no way these two teams are losing these games. Temple's been feisty a little bit this year, but no, they're at home. They're going to blow away Temple. It's going to be between them. And unfortunately, I think this is where the problem is with James Madison now. You know what's real interesting, though, with the committee? They're going to look at North Texas, and they're going to say, you beat Washington State by 49 points back in early September. And they're going to say, James Madison, you beat Washington State by 4 points. If anything, I would probably look at North Texas to make the college football playoff. But right now, I'm stuck with JMU at plus 600.
Oh, it's a good bet.
I think it's a great bet. Yeah, I mean, one of these teams would massively have to slip up this week, and the other one's just going to have to lose the next game. But situation where wasn't really happy with the committee, let's put it that way. And if you look at most ratings, Tulane's a 7-point dog to JMU, especially if you look at Sagarin.
Yeah, and Bear brought up the point when he was on a couple weeks ago. It's not popular to say, but the group of five was supposed to be for like when Boise had one of those, who was the kid, you know, those Kellen Moore teams when they went undefeated. You put that kind of team in, the team that's special, that's undefeated, you give them a shot. It wasn't meant for these two-loss American Conference teams to get in. Those are not the 12 best teams, but the rules are the rules, and that's how it goes.
Oh, yeah, he texted me too. I agree. It's silly that it's in. I mean, I wouldn't have made a bet on any of them, but it's the truth that they have to put one in. I think that is completely stupid. And you're completely screwing a very good team over that might have lost their quarterback for a little while or had a couple of hiccups on the road, but their power is better. You know, I wish that we understood the balance of most deserving between power, because power ratings are always different than most deserving, you know? And
sure.
And it's just a situation where it's football. It bounces in crazy different ways. I think, you know, their reasoning, let's expand it even more, which is absolutely silly. I think have parameters. I'd rather have a computer-generated system that I can understand, just like they used to, than a bunch of guys making decisions that barely watch any of these games, Will.
Kev, you're the best, man. Appreciate you coming on. You're one of everyone's favorite guests. Happy Thanksgiving. Let everyone know where we can find you.
Well, happy Thanksgiving to you, and it's always a pleasure coming on, Will. Check us out at theoddsbreakers.com. We're going to have something special for you on Thanksgiving. The Bear's actually coming on the show on Tuesday. If you guys want to tune in live, it's going to be on 1 o'clock Mountain Time. I'm on Mountain now in Arizona, 12 o'clock Pacific, 3 o'clock Eastern. We're going to shoot the shit and enjoy a little bit of some turkey talk as well. We're going to go over some big games and maybe even a little NFL will be our Thanksgiving special. Once again, Will, thanks for having me.
All right, Kev, you're the best, man. Appreciate it. All right, thanks to Kev O'Neill. Thank you guys for listening. Rate, review, subscribe. We will be back Wednesday. See you then.